Good morning, everyone. Scrooge County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. As you can tell, I'm suffering a little bit from laryngitis today. Should my voice completely fail, Vice Chairman Carmona is prepared to go ahead and take over this meeting. So if you'd like to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll go ahead and get started here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Get back to where we were here. Right here on B Street in Virginia City. Next up on our agenda is item 3, discussion for possible action. This is approval for the agenda of this day, October 6, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or adjustments to make in today's agenda?
No, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none. If we get a motion to approve,
Yep, I move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second.
You're going to second all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Little housekeeping measures here. If anyone does wish to speak, we will go ahead and have public comment towards the beginning of the meeting and at the end of this meeting. And we will also have a public comment after every action item on our agenda. If you'd like to speak, you'll need to unmute your microphone, which is star 6, or you can use another measure by raising your hand by hitting star 9. After speaking, please go ahead and unmute your microphone so that we don't get any feedback across the board. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for September the 1st, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Commissioner Cohen, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I move to approve the minutes for September 1st, 2020 Board of Commissioners meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Yes, we move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye, motion carries unanimously. Move along to item number 5. Discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for September the 15th, 2020. Are there any public comments regarding those minutes? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Cohen, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for the September 15th, 2020 Board of Commissioners meeting.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We're going to step to item number 6. This is today's consent agenda. Are there any public comments regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Bring us up to item number 7. Now we're open for public comment. Would anyone in the audience like to make public comment? If so, please identify yourself for the record. Speak clearly. Speak loudly, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Thank you. All right. Hearing no public comment, we'll move on to item number 8. This is discussion only. We'll take no public comment. Or action. These are committee and staff reports. I'll start with the Sheriff's Office with Sheriff Andrew.
Good morning, Commissioners. Only one thing this morning, and that is the passing of a Lockwood resident, Christopher Burge, been down there
Thank you, Sheriff. Over at Public Works, the Recreation Department, my question.
Good morning, Jason. I'm here for the record, but I will give Mike's update this morning. He is John Jones, project liaison in the Lockwood area. Number one, the Divide Justice Court project, working is going well. Finishing left fence selected, and framing will be completed this week. We are currently on schedule and slightly under budget. And item number two is the depot project. We have reissued the request for qualifications to see if we can get additional qualified teams to submit their qualifications for consideration in a design build proposal to install a fire suppression system in a building and related structural work. We should have additional submittals at the end of this week, hopefully. And that is it for my update.
Great, Jason. Where on the floor? Do you have a report for us today?
This is it. Well, I just want to comment on where full steam ahead with the assistant paid power with the new dispatch center. We're getting close to wrapping that up on a public work standpoint. Another thing, we have went as far as we can go with the painted rock drainage issues from a couple heavy downpours they had a month or two ago down there. We had to replace a section of guardrails and then fix several washout areas with some heavy river rock, things of that nature. And we are currently working on some major drainage repairs around town to get ready for the season, trying to redirect water away from homes and businesses that we've had issues with. And then as soon as we're done with that, we'll be getting back down on the March Wing culvert project. That's all I have for the day.
Very good. Thanks, Jason. My fellow commissioners, if you have any questions for any of our department heads, go ahead and jump right in. Thank you, Jason. Now, the library and community chest, Eric Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman McBride and fellow commissioners. For the record, Eric Chairman of community chest, I've got a few updates to keep you all in the loop. First of all, it's full speed ahead for us, even in the strange time of COVID, especially with our four after school programs, both in Lockwood and Virginia City. And what's been interesting is to see how kiddos are adapting to the school year. And I have to say how impressed I am with how resilient they are in general. They are pretty adapted to just about anything, but even that has its limits. And what we're seeing is that what we have hoped to do in providing these programs is that we would really be able to support them in staying on top of their schoolwork. And we do that to the degree that we can. But we're seeing kiddos who almost are semi-traumatized or maybe other way of putting it are so stifled. You know, they're hardwired to this at the younger ages for social connection. I know how hard it is for me as a 15-year-old man not to be able to be as social as I would normally want to be. And to be turbocharged at an age where I want social connection and to have to resist that throughout the school year. What we're finding by the time they come to us either after school or in their off days is that they're needing a place to decompress because they need a place to connect. And we have to sort of attend to the social and emotional needs before we even have a chance to get into the educational needs. So it's been quite a struggle. It's been quite the balance and the adjustment for us as well. And I know the schools are working on supporting the kiddos as well. But just to give you all an idea of just the nuance that they're involved with that. As well, I'd like to say a great thank you to Stacy at the Senior Center. We ended up with more money for our food program than we normally do. And Stacy was able to open the partner so that we can help provide funding for her food bank. They have more fresh food. She might talk more about that later, but I want to say thank you to Stacy for being open to partnering. I think it's going to be a win-win for those folks who are raising that food closet at her place. And really, she's got the best, most extensive food distribution system in Troy County, so it makes sense to really support that. I wanted to remind folks that our counseling and case management programs, our work and employment programs are still open, and they have slots available, so not to hesitate. if somebody has a meeting, please call. We have folks who are available to talk and to work here in joint appointments. Now, last but not least, a couple of fun special events to bring to your attention. On Friday, October 23rd, we will have our Virginia City Haunted Ride-Along from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Last year, that was the Haunted Trail. And basically, you might remember it sort of turned Virginia City into a virtual haunted house where we had characters placed throughout town. There took people on the trolley and they came around and scared everybody. I may or may not have been in that habit at Imperial Red Dog, but we will do this again from a socially distanced concept where everybody will be in their own car, in their own cars, and they will have an app where they will be able to hear the narrative of the haunted house by each of the characters. So we'll just have cars, lines of cars coming through town, doing the same sort of thing. At the end of it, they'll be able to do whatever they want to do. But we're kind of excited to be able to still offer that and find a way that's still safe for everybody, socially distant. And lastly, strange time to turn 30 as an organization, but we are now actually entering our 30th year, which is crazy that we've actually persevered for so long and been able to be a part of this community for so long. And normally we have a big bash at Piper, but that's really not possible right now. So we'll be doing a virtual 30th birthday bash on Thursday, October 29th. I'll be giving links and information out for folks to look for, but the band that we would have in the spring that we were hoping to bring back for this fall show, which we still can't have, the Birds of Chicago, a really exciting band, that they will do a virtual concert for us from 7 p.m. until about 8:15 earlier tonight. So, like I said, for information, more forthcoming in later days. So, that's all I've got, unless you guys have questions.
Thank you, Rick. Miller, if there's any questions?
No questions, Chairman.
No questions. Great. Surrey County Recorder, morning, Hanson Martinez.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioner. Nothing to report today.
Thank you, Maureen. Surrey County Senior Citizen Services, Stacey York. I thought I saw Stacey on the board. Director of IT, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioner. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. A couple of updates. Our Arctic Wolf security of the software service has been fully deployed on all our devices in the county. We're getting monthly reports on that with actionable items to increase our security posture. The project to move the power and equipment from the basement of the training building at 141 C Street has been completed. All that equipment has been moved into a outdoor enclosure at the tower site. The sewer tower special use permit and indoor permits have been acquired, and construction is slated to begin in mid-November for the new tower down at the sewer treatment plant, the bottom 6 mile there. The multi-factor authentication project for the clerk's office in conjunction with the Secretary of State's office has been completed. That's increasing our election security with two-factor authentication for all of Vanessa's staff in her office. And the dispatch move with Dave Ballard, the racking has been completed in the data center. The electrical is in progress and about 80% completed. And the fiber has been ordered for AT&T, so that project is moving along very smoothly. And that's all I have this morning.
Very good. Commissioners, any questions for James?
No questions, Chairman.
No questions. All righty. I'll go back to Stacey York at the Story County Senior Citizen Center.
Hi, Stacey York, for the record. I lost my Wi-Fi, so hopefully that doesn't happen again. Just wanted to update on Blue Shop Clinic. We will have one tomorrow at the Virginia City Senior Center, 9 a.m. to 11. Thursday, we'll be out in Hopwood, 9 a.m. to 11. and will be doing Virginia City Highlands Wednesday, October 21st, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Also, we're doing the Veterans Day spaghetti feed a little differently this year. So with the cars cruising down C Street, we're asking that any veterans or cars cruising come down to the senior center and pick up a to-go spaghetti lunch. Recently, we had a meeting for the capital improvement project at the Lockwood Senior Community Center. We finally began discussions on the needs for the building, separate spaces, potential for a commercial kitchen. So we're looking at the different options we have here in Lockwood and also different funding streams. So hopefully we'll want to come on that soon. Any questions?
Try to do it, Stacey. No questions?
Nothing, Chairman.
No questions.
Thank you, Stacey. Our HR Director, Jamie Green.
Nothing new to report, thank you.
Thank you. Good communications, Dave Ballard.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm not sure if I'm seeing here. This is working correctly. Okay, Dave Ballard for the record. Yeah, I just wanted to get on with Jason from Public Works and what Jamie Dean said. The building is moving all the way ahead. Everything is looking really good in there. You have to really see it to believe what they have done in a couple of weeks. But everything is moving forward. I believe the desks will be in today, and we're about pretty much ready to go. We're waiting for the equipment to come in. I just got a contract renewal from AT&T today for the 911 system, and we're moving forward. I'm hoping that maybe by the end of November, mid-November to the end of November, we should be in there and fully functional.
Very good. Thanks, David. Well, commissioners, any questions for David?
Not today.
No questions, thank you. Thanks, David. Over to VCPC, Danny Johnson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. Just a couple of quick things. One, on this Thursday, the VCPC has a regular scheduled meeting. It looked at from the agenda items, it's really to start the process of somewhat of a refreshing and strategic plan, if you will. The reason behind this really is that this time we have to look at things a little bit differently. We're going to be just, again, starting the process, not really getting into it, just yeah, we can do something like a subcommittee, but to bring back information, include some merchants, include potentially one of the commissioners here, and maybe some of the department heads. But we're going to be looking at things on the marketing, including diversity and inclusion, looking at events, and all of it, but obviously with somewhat restrictions in regards to COVID for next year. So we want to come up with a plan going forward. In this calendar year, starting next year, obviously, it's time for budgeting. So we're already thinking ahead on that, and we'll start that process here in this next couple weeks. And then finally, the one thing that will help with the governor relaxing some of the restrictions on occupancy and making it to 250 or 50% occupancy, that's going to drastically help Pipers with some of the functions we have in place, the October activities, as well as looking into Christmas. Again, that could allow us to possibly even break even though, as opposed to just, lose a little bit there. So, anyway, that's all I got. That's a good question.
Well, commissioners, any questions for Denny?
Not today, Chairman.
No questions, thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Well, we're at Community Relations and Emergency Management, Laura Mather.
Good morning, Laura Mather for the record. I don't have anything to report, but I would like to introduce Honey Tapley. Honey is working with the county. She's been with us for a couple of months now. She's working under the CARES Act funding project. She basically helps us with everything COVID-related. And she was taking the lead on the small business grants that the community, that Story County is working on right now. And so she's going to give us a brief report on how that's going.
Good morning, Lee Tapley for the record. We have so far 13 of our businesses have applied for the small grants. 7 of our businesses have already already been approved by the National Development Center and for the National Development Council, and of those seven, we have approved six of them. The other one is waiting a little further information before we approve them. And six are still pending the approval from the National Development Council. They're the ones that kind of go in and look at everything in the beginning and support the applicants. We're basically things on a greater need basis of those businesses that have a greater need to have a higher score, and they're approved before the lower score is compensated. But we have extended the deadline. Originally, the deadline for applications was today. That is extended now to October 29th. And the reason being is a lot of businesses were applying in all the counties that are a part of this. And so they've extended it. And also, there is the Small Business Development Center. There is a counselor there who is willing to help our businesses with everything for the application process. So if you talk to anybody and they feel like maybe the application process is too hard, or they don't have availability to the document scanned or things of that nature, the Small Business Development Center is one to help. And the contact for that, her name is Kathy Alardier, and she has given us permission. She wants the businesses to contact her, and her cell phone number is 775-720-4428, and she is willing to literally do everything to get these businesses through the grant process and closer to approval and getting the funds dispersed to them. But also, any of the businesses can contact us at Community Relations, and our phone number is 847-0986 in extension 1. And so they can contact us at any time. We can get them connected to the proper people and get their applications going through. So it has been extended, and we're encouraging everyone to continue to talk to the businesses that they might come to contact to get in and work through this approval process to get the years from grants out for county. Do you have any questions?
Fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Kirby?
No questions, but thank you for assisting us with this. Appreciate it.
Thank you for participating, honey. And I know that some of our merchants were reluctant to participate when we had a smaller amount of money that we were offering for the amount of money for the amount of work it was going to take these merchants to go ahead and comply. So it looks like what you guys are doing is going to make it that easier and more affordable for the users and participators. And so perhaps we could get this lady, Kathy, if you're nameless, maybe get her maybe her phone number and information tied in with the information on our website going forward to them.
May I say one more thing?
Go right ahead.
She also wanted to know, or wanted us to let it be known, that a lot of businesses are hesitant to provide the documentation they need because of confidentiality. When they talked with Kathy, they signed a confidentiality agreement with her, which we have a confidentiality agreement with her as well. So anything that goes through the tax documents, the W-9s, all of that information is confidential, and so they don't need to be afraid of it.
Out publicly in the internet. Right. So they need to know that, sure. Thank you, honey. Let's move on now to all things that have to do with water. Mike, do you have
it? Morning. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the commission, for the record, Mike Nevin. An update of the two infrastructure projects that are in process and one soon to be in process. I'll start with the Hillside Tanks project. That project is progressing nicely on schedule. The water line from the tank site to Highway 342 is about 90% complete. The tie in was completed at the highway. The retaining wall for the first tank up there
is complete. The contractor is currently working on the footing and ring wall foundation for the first tank. That will be completed hopefully by the end of the week, and they'll pour that putting up their schedule for next Monday. So progressing nicely. We've had decent weather, as you all well know, so that helps considerably as well. Gold Hill Sewer Treatment Facility. After meeting with MDEP on a couple of occasions within the last couple of weeks, we've agreed to the language on the draft discharge permit. Last Friday, they sent out the packet. The draft permit, the notice of their intent to issue the permit after the 30-day public comment is finished at the end of the month, so we're not anticipating any problems. Specifically, after reading their fact-finding on that discharge permit, so we're ready to bid. We have asked for concurrence to do so to both funding agencies. Yesterday, we did receive the first concurrence from the Office of Financial Assistance and are awaiting USDA concurrence. So if we get that this week, we're set to go. So this will finally get out to bid. The plant equipment itself, we're expecting that to ship out from the manufacturer here within the next couple of weeks. Basically, that part of it is complete, so that will ship out, and so that will be stored probably at the public works yard until the site is ready for the install of that small package treatment plant in Gold Hill. So, making progress, and it's been, you know, somewhat of a hassle with the COVID, but, you know, we're in stepping in the right direction, so we're not going backwards. So that's a good thing. So that's all I have, unless anybody has a question for me. Thank you.
Fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Mike?
Not today.
No questions, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Great update. Community Development Director or Fire Marshal, Mark Nazarino.
Good morning, everyone. Mark Nazarino. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, good morning. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I put a record, Mark Nazarino, Community Development Director and Fire Marshal. A couple things. For me, is just like to, as I told you guys in the last meeting, that we hired a new code enforcement officer to do the nuisances. His name is Chris Annan. He has definitely hit the ground running and doing very well out there in the county with the nuisances. Very pleased with his work so far. We have put out the dashboard report for last month, and we're still staying busy. New construction documents that we review for the year has been 201 documents that will be interviewed. 31 last month. Permits issued, we did 52 last month. Permits and year-to-date 288 permits. One of the things that we've been really trying to keep up on is the permits with the staff that we have and as many permits that we have out there. It's especially with Tesla closing out permits. There's a lot of them. With any big project, you're going to have a lot of permits, and the inspectors and everyone involved has really stepped up and got a lot of these permits closed. We were finding permits that were dated back years that were never closed, and much before my time. So we finally got a lot of those closed and caught up. Business licenses, year to date, we issued 91. This is since January. And active uses in the county are 41. We've had one fire last month, and it was a small fire, there was no damage. The, I just like to put out there also regarding the new title program that we are working on and developing right now. I just like to put a shout out to the Sheriff's Office. We're involving them with this program, and they've been great to work with. They've been working with us on this program, and we're also including planning, and we'll be including Public Works in on this program shortly. Matter of fact, I'll be getting Jason a call today regarding that. Also coming up in, I think it's next week, the International Code Committee and the National Fire Protection Association called me, and they are coming out, invited me to go out and do a tour of Tesla and Panasonic. With some of these new large industrial technical businesses that are coming in around the area, the codes really don't reflect a lot of what we're seeing out there because it's new. It's new technology, new ways of doing things. So they've asked me to be on their code committees, which is basically a committee that gets together and we write new codes and regulations for the next code cycle or the code cycle after that. So they'll be coming out on the 13th and we will be doing those lots out there. That's about all I have. Do you have any questions for me?
Bill Richard?
No questions from Mark today.
No questions, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Emergency Management Director, Joe Burgess.
I'm here. That's Joe, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioner, Mr. Chairman. The report is a little bit of haze. So, can you hear me okay, right?
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. You're doing well with your voice so far, sounds good. So, a little overview on the COVID matter, here. We're at the moment, we're at zero cases for Story County. We had one last week, and then about a week and a half ago, and then it since recovered. So we've got a total of 11 cases. So Story County and Esmeralda County are two low ball people in the county and state. So we're doing well. As of last evening for the Quad County, for the four counties area, they had nine new cases, but at the same time they had eight recoveries. And there was, however, an additional death that occurred over the last weekend. But as a total for the count for the four counties that are now up to 1,361 cases, 94 of them are currently active. And 1,250 of them have recovered, and we have four counties with a total of 17 deaths. Five of the nine new ones that they received have no connection to a prior reported case. So where they got from is unknown. Four of those do have a connection to a previous reported case. Interesting note is what some of the statistics we received from the state is that if you look at them in terms of hospitalizations from COVID matter, is it's about the same as it was on July 1. So we peaked in early August at over 1,000 hospitalizations, and today we're somewhat under 500. And it's tending to stay kind of at a level area that where you know we get sort of two steps ahead and one back and that sort of thing. We have about a 10% factor as of the end of September of positivity rates, and so we're holding at about 9%, been holding it pretty steady there for the last couple of weeks. We had another community testing site yesterday out at the Highlands, and we had a really good participation, better than we expected because of the complacency factors that have kind of shown up in all the testing centers. But we did, if I remember, if I think my stats are correct, we did 41 people that had COVID, did the COVID test and the flu shot together. And then we had just three that had just the flu shot. But now with this, beginning with this site, actually beginning with the other one too, we did flu shots. And so we kind of hit the county in a double whammy, if you will, with Stacy and her program at the senior center and ours with the COVID test sites at the same time. So we'll be back to Lockwood on October 23rd. 3 to 5 p.m., and we're going to try to catch some of that ED crowd as best we can. So that's all been running very well. The air quality assessment for this morning is that we're still in the area of moderate, so it's we're below 100, in other words, of the air quality. So we're doing well with that. The air quality is something we watch a lot because it really has an effect on our school system and others, people who have some sort of breathing problems or problems related to having to smoke in the air. They had another fire occur over in California, in Nevada, actually, which is north of Reno a bit, and so we're picking up some of that smoke too now, I think. And the weather will be pretty warm today and tomorrow, and it'll start to cool off a little bit Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're talking about snow that's up above 7,000, 8,000 feet. But rest assured, we'll get our opportunity for snow as soon as possible, I'm sure. End of October is usually we start seeing some flurries, good flurries. That's the end of my report. If anyone has any questions.
Okay. Fellow commissioners?
No questions from me, Chairman.
Joe, that's the one here. And no questions, but thank you for my COVID and my flu shot. And the good news that came back negative, so I'm good for another week. Thanks for
that. Excellent. That's great. Interestingly enough, though, yesterday we did have the director of the State Division of Emergency Management came through our line and got both the flu shot and the COVID test. He said he was on his way to Reno, thought he would take the scenic route through Virginia City and go ahead and stop at our site and get his flu shot and his COVID test before he headed into Reno to catch a plane going east. So that was kind of fun to see him there. Other than that, that's it. Thank you very much for your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. For Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I just wanted to give you and everybody listening here a heads up that at our November 5th Planning Commission meeting, the USGS will be giving us the yearly update on the Highlands Wells projects that they've been doing. And also at that same meeting, we will be having a discussion about the resident size. We've been talking about that for a little bit. It'll just be a discussion. Staff has been doing some research and been meeting. But just to let you know that those two items will be talked about at the Planning Commission meeting on November 5th. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Kathy. Commissioners, any questions for Kathy?
Kathy, just to confirm, on November 5th, USGS will be presenting their details at the Planning Commission meeting at Station 72. Is that correct?
It will be via Zoom right now, unless something...
Oh, sorry, via Zoom, my bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And what time is the USGS presenting?
At 6.
At 6, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. Over the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. Nothing today, thank you.
All right, thanks, Jennifer. All right, County Fire Chief, Jeff Devitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Devitt, Fire Chief. We're busy last Saturday, a couple of structure fires in the Cedar River County. The first one was in Painted Rock. Fully destroyed the structure that was there. And when I say structure, it was a couple of sheds and a motor home. It was part of the property there. That cause is still undetermined at this time, being investigated by the farmers. We also had one in Mark Plain, which was appeared to be caused by a barbecue or a smoker, pellet smoker tape device that just has minimal damage to the structure and the porch itself, so we're able to take care of those rather quickly. We've got a rush engine returning from Wyoming, we believe in Wong, so they've out to the east there. The seasonal staff been working on the slope behind the History Center and the B&T Depot there on East Street, removing some of that food that's there, so hopefully they'll be coming back this week or next. And then our street light program that we've been working on via automatic vehicle locator system along with the electronic street lights, so hopefully that will help us have almost instant access to the plans and drawings of each business within the county to help us build the security problems that we may have. If we do have fires there, we know where all the shutoffs and everything are, and this will be real time on the iPads that we have in the agents and the panels. So moving up with our technology here in the fire district. And then finally, a little bit of a bittersweet announcement. I've given the commissioners my notice to retire. We've all seen it. But that my date will be December 31st of this year. It's a bittersweet. It's been nice to, and one of my goals is to knock this community and, you know, serve as the fire chief, which you all gave me that opportunity to do. It's been quite an adventure for the last few years, and I appreciate that opportunity, and you know, I feel it's time. The timing was kind of set a few months ago, I'm looking forward to it. So again, I thank you all for the opportunity and look forward to working with you for the next few months. That's all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Okay. Well, Jeff, you've done a terrific job as the fire chief. So, commissioners?
Jeff, it's Jay. It's been a pleasure working with you. I can't believe you're going out on 2020 year of COVID, but I guess you got to do what you got to do. So, it's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thank you all for the kind words. And, it's been one of those years that I don't know how you can top it. So, this is time to go.
That's a good way to put it, man.
Couldn't be more proud of you, Jeff.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, over our legal department, Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Lewis, I don't really have anything to add. As you're well aware, the Mary Wilson case is proceeding along
Stericycle has moved into the major in that case. We'll have to see what happens. Other than that, I don't think that.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Lewis?
No.
No questions, thank you. All right. County Manager, Lester Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, also the person for the record. I just want, after many, many years of working with the federal government on the storage of the lands bill, which became the Lands Act, I've given here in my office a stack of documentation of the actual transfer of properties by frequently deed from the federal government to the county, with the intent for the county then to work with property owners here in Virginia City and Gold Hill to transfer those quickly to them, and this will essentially or have a goal of removing the public title on people's private properties with the LM. So working with the recorder's office, the assessor's office, Mr. Loomis, and some others on getting this all straightened out, and then we'll prepare this for the board to take action at the next meeting. Anybody in the community that has questions about what this means or have any concerns or questions, they can just call any of us or call me directly, and we'll field any call to happen. Otherwise, you're prepared for the October 28th working. So it's actually happening after 20 years or so. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Fellow commissioners?
Nothing. Thank you.
No questions. Thank you. Very good. Thank you, Austin. Scurry County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Good morning. I wanted to start with a quick thank you to James Dean and his team for getting us set up for this upcoming election. The state has put in all kinds of new security, and they have been amazing help getting us ready to roll on time. Other than that, we've been very busy with elections. The ballots hit the mail on September 30th, and they're already coming back into the office. People can mail them or drop them off. And then the second installment of property taxes was due yesterday. So just a reminder that that's going on too. And if anybody has any questions, then contact the office. Thank you.
Very good. So are there any elected officials, department heads, or staff that I have neglected to call on? Hearing none, we're going to move on to agenda item number 9. These are board comments. We'll take no action to public comment. And I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
No comments today. Thank you, Mark, very much.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Carmona?
Nothing today, Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Next up is item 10, discussion for the possible action. Consideration of possible approval of resolution number 20-0-491-440
Mr. Osborne, would you like to take this? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, and I'd like to also note that Bud Lonzo from the Fulcrum Group is also here with us. I believe there may be another representative present if you want to speak on this. We've done these in the past with Fulcrum Sierra Biofuels. They have a biorefinery and tri-center on the group. They also have a waste separation facility over at the Lonzo Regional Landfill. And this action each year that the board takes just gives Fulcrum a little bit of credibility and ability to apply for federal funds and for federal financing and other USDA-backed financial assistance. This is not a county bond. This is nothing of that nature. It's a pretty routine matter and required by the USDA. I don't have anything else. If there's any other representative, but that's how I can speak.
Thank you, Austin. Mr. Hartman, did you have anything to add to this, what Mr. Hartman said?
No, we appreciate the county's support of the Fulcrum projects. This is now iteration number 6 of the bond financings, and so it's much like unto what was issued last year. But happy to answer any questions on the resolution.
All right. So, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding the resolution?
I do not have any questions. This is a repeat of last year. Thank you, Marty.
Commissioner,
I don't have any questions either. Thank you.
Very good. All over everyone now for public comment. Is there public comment regarding this resolution? Well, I mean, it looks like we're getting off the hook for any questions. I don't want to have to name them longer. The former project of the Story County Landfill, but they're both getting the permission, so that's a good thing.
Thank you. Again, if I can ask just one question, we will be coming back again, as the commissioners will know, for these courts, for the approval of the governors, for the findings of the director. And we had circled Story County meeting on November 3rd. First Tuesday of November, is the plan still to hold a meeting that day, and will that work?
I'm rushing. We changed that date to the 2nd because the 3rd is the election day. So.
Oh, very good call. Okay, so we won't plan on the 2nd.
Okay. Mr. Harmon, if you'd like to just reach me directly, we can get you all set up with that and prepare you with a agenda request.
Okay. Thank you so much, Austin. Appreciate all the assistance.
Okay, I'll call once again if there's any public comment regarding this resolution. Hearing none, Commissioner Carmine, would you entertain a motion to approve this resolution?
My pleasure, Chairman. Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmine, approve resolution number 20-591, supporting Fulcrum Sierra Holdings LLC's efforts to obtain bonding and funding support through the Director of the State of Nevada of Business and Industry to approve its facility located in Story County.
I'll second that. Thank you.
Good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Superintendent and Mr. Harper.
Thank you.
Alright, we'll move along now to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of interlocal agreement between Story County and Canyon General Improvement District. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to mention that the Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis is with us, and he's also been very helpful in working between the parties to get this agreement straightened out. We know that Story County has a franchise agreement with waste management and trash service pickup. The Canyon GID has its own franchise agreement covering the Lockwood community, and because of that, our franchise agreement does not cover their community, and their franchise agreement does not have senior citizen discounts, such as Story County does. Ours is in the amount of 25%. So we've been working with the folks down there to, with Keith's help, in creating an interlocal agreement that the Canyon GID approved on September 15th. And that will be for the parties to work together and for this element of our franchise agreement, the 25% senior discount to apply in the Lockwood community through a reimbursement program that the county will provide to the Canyon GID. So with today's action, we launched the appeals to approve this. And we will immediately begin working with Mitch and his team down at Canyon GID to start the program for senior citizens in that community. I want to thank the GID folks that they're great to work with and Mr. Loomis as well.
Thank you, Austin. Fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Austin?
I don't have any questions.
No questions for me, Chairman.
No questions for me as well. Marshall, I just, I'm delighted that, Lockwood is going to take advantage of this, and we were able to structure through the legal questions for him. But great work, Austin. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. Now we'll go ahead and I'll open it up for public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this local agreement between Story County and the GID?
Hi, Mitch Ann Green, Manager of Canyon General District.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, from all of us down here in Lockwood, just want to thank you. It will be very popular. I can guarantee you that. And I know the board and residents here that I speak with on a daily basis are very grateful to Story County.
Thanks for the kind words, Mitch. Okay, additional public comment? Hearing no additional comment, Commissioner Cohen, would you entertain a motion to approve this in a local paper?
Yeah, my pleasure, Chairman. Surrey County Waste Management, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the interlocal agreement between Surrey County and Canyon General Improvement District, Canyon GID, in order for the Canyon GID to provide 25% solid waste collection discounts to eligible Lockwood senior citizens 65 years of age and older, and for Surrey County to reimburse the Canyon GID for its associated costs on a monthly basis.
I'll second the motion. Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We'll move on to item number 12 now. Discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to reimburse the Surrey County School District an amount not to exceed $27,000 for costs directly related to COVID-19. Ms. Mather.
Good morning. Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. The Surrey County School District reached out to us and requested if they could be reimbursed through the CARES Act funding for costs related to them working through this whole year and keeping their staff and students as safe as possible as we proceed through this pandemic. It's ranges from cleaning supplies to extra face shields for the nurses to partitions in the nurse's office in case they do have students or staff in there, kind of keeping everybody separate. Things that we might not think of, like bottled water for staff and students, so everybody's not drinking out of the same water fountain. So we would like you to ask the commissioners to approve this so that we can reimburse them for all of these costs.
Yeah, that's good, because I think we have adequate funds around our CARES monies that the county's received.
We do. We have adequate funds, and it specifically states in the mandate for that we can reimburse the school district for those costs.
Very good. Fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Laura?
No questions, Chairman, sorry.
No question, Marshall, but you know, it's wonderful that we have these COVID funds distributed, and by being a fifth grade here, there's nothing better than supporting our school system. So thank you, Laura, for the work on that.
Thank you.
Anyway, is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the reimbursement of an amount not to exceed $27,000 to the Surrey County School District for costs directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The funds will be reimbursed from Surrey County's allocation of CARES Act funds upon receipt of all invoices and proof of payment by the Surrey County School District.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you, Laura. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action regarding disposal of the strike trailer and unlocking freezer jail.
Thank you, Commissioners. The trailer that is in question is one that the county obtained, I'd say it was about 2006, 2007. A former deputy had secured it, and I believe that it was actually sold to the county for the cost of $1. So we're not having anything there. The trailer has been leaking, has not been used for anything for some time, and where that has been sitting is where the
get a scrap company to come and haul it off. And they have it in exchange for all, you know, really has no value whatsoever. The walk-in cooler is the old walk-in cooler that, to my knowledge, was put in when the jail was first constructed back in the 80s. That was also replaced during this past year with a new walk-in cooler. I've searched high and low trying to find if there's any kind of a market for a walk-in cooler. I'm not finding anything that even indicates it has any value. So again, I propose to get rid of that to whomever wants it for the, as long as they absorb the cost of removing it. The compressor is out. Anybody who does take it would need to totally refurbish the compressor motor and probably the cooling system if it can even be done, since it's the old fashioned cooler that's seldom ever used anymore. So that would be my thoughts. Send them both away to whoever wants them for the cost of them taking
them. There you go. Good idea. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay, no comment. Commissioner Crumlin, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yep. I, Jay Crumlin, I motion to approve the disposal of the storage trailer and the walk-in freezer down at the jail.
We'll second that motion. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Sheriff. All right. Next up is item 14, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of proclamation supporting Fire Prevention Week from October 4th to the 10th of 2020. So, who do we have representing the fire district today? We have Joe Storms and Ashley Mead that are on the paperwork here. There's the Chief Nevin.
And Mr. Chairman, I believe that would come from the fire prevention side of the house, and I would love to fire marshal by the field.
So, thank you, Chief.
I fire marshal, I'll be here. What was the question again?
So this is a proclamation supporting Fire Prevention Week?
Yes. We would like to make that proclamation. It is fire prevention month. As you heard, we have two fires over the weekend, and one was due to a cooking fire. So that's kind of what it's focused on this month, fire prevention is cooking fires. Also, with that said, you know, the weather's getting cooler. We're coming in for rainfall. It doesn't feel like it, of course, except in the mornings. But it is going to get cooler, and people really need to check their furnaces, make sure they don't need to be serviced, and watch out for the species.
Thank you, Mark. Go over to my legal counsel. Mr. Lomas, does this proclamation need to be written to the records?
It's not required.
Alrighty. Are there any, excuse me. Is there any public comment regarding this proclamation? Commissioner Kern, would you entertain a motion, please?
Yes, sir. I, Jim, I'm going to move to proclaim the week of October 4th through 10th as Fire Prevention Week.
I'll second the motion.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item 15, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of amendment to the existing contract to remove the planning, building, and zoning responsibilities and elements and adjusting annual costs according to these changes. If you have Jim Chapman on the board today?
We do not, Mr. Chairman. I'm prepared to make the item. I thank you. It's pretty self-explanatory. We have a DevNet system that works mostly with Assessor Seven's office. She can certainly speak to that if she'd like to. There was originally a building inspection planning and a zoning element to that. Since then, we have found it to be much more effective to move that department over to the Tyler systems and provide better programming and a better timing of the, you know, the department's big work. But, so we're asking to remove those departments from the DevNet contract. There is a reduction in cost. That's not a very large reduction, but there is some circle around that will come in later with a title we'll talk about. There is a fee schedule embedded in this on page 9, and that would answer any questions that you have. And Jan Stedman is also on it. She has a feature for this. Thank you.
Jared, would you like to add anything to the last comments?
No, I think he's pretty much covered it. I think as we kind of discussed in a previous commission meeting that with the direction, you know, this contract went into play 3 years ago, the direction that our community development office has taken in the last 3 years, just really isn't what was going to be in the design document. And the timer system seems to be a better way that now that we have the fireside and the community development that was never contracted for, and DevNet just really didn't have anything in place for that. So if anybody has any other questions, I'll be glad to answer them. But other than that, I think we're on the right track with that now.
Thank you, Chairman. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Austin or Jim?
I do not, Chairman.
I don't have any questions. Just a thank you to Jen. I know she has worked for this and not necessarily in favor at the beginning, but there's been a lot of effort put into looking how this might work for the county, and I think we really arrived at the right conclusion here. So, Jen, thank you for that work.
Thank you,
Commissioner
McGovern.
Good. All right. I'll open up. Is there any public comment that you're going to say? There are no comments. Commissioner Cohen, would you entertain a motion to approve this amendment to the existing DevNet contract?
My pleasure. In accordance with recommendation by staff, I, Jay Kerman, move to approve amendments to existing DevNet contract to remove planning, building, and zoning responsibilities and elements and adjusting annual costs according to these changes.
Second the motion.
All right. I've got a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next up is item 16, discussion for possible action. Update on community development at Department Tyler Systems Project. Mr. Huntworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With this one, there's a CARES element involved, so our member and me, particularly, are also with us, so they may not have anything they want to mention. But really, what we're doing here is amending the Tyler contract for the building line and the business licensing element. And this provides much more ability for those folks to work remotely as needed during the COVID situations, and also allows the public and contractors and other people to work remotely with them, such as outlet-based remote payments and plant survival, that sort of thing. There's a $7,000 element to this about cost, but we put in there not to exceed $10,000 just to allow a little bit of wiggle room in case there's some other module elements that might need to be added. This would be a CARES expense. It should be noted here too, there's an annual cost. Originally it was about $14,200. This will actually be reduced to about $6,000 for the annual cost.
Do you anticipate this is going to be something we're going to use going forward and after the this pandemic ends?
Yeah, there's some folks like Martin that might want to speak to that, but I do. We're trying to provide more effective means for
equipment deal that paid bill and submit things online. We are even talking about moving away from the backroom system where people can submit money directly to community development and other needs, including using the backroom, as providing more flexibility for the builders that are out there in the community, as well as the general public that wants to be able to access us.
Yep, very good.
Fellow commissioners, any questions for us?
Nothing, Chairman.
No question, thank you.
All right, we'll open up the public comment.
Commissioners, this is Mark Enzio, Director. If I may comment.
Go right ahead, Mark.
Yeah, kind of just to build on what the county manager put out there regarding the system. This system is definitely going to streamline the inspection process, the plan review process, as Austin said. And it's going to work for us in the future, too. It's just putting, we are, with the technology that we have now, it's going to be fantastic. Moving forward, it's going to cut down on the inspector's office time. I figured anywhere between 30 to 40% in the office. They're going to be doing a lot of their things right on the computer, on site. If this COVID thing continues, they'll be able to do video inspections with contractors. They'll be able to do photos. And they'll be able to add those right into their inspection form and send it right out. Also the program, as soon as they hit the done button on the inspection, it automatically uploads into the Tyler system and automatically uploads into our system. It's going to be a great program. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of departments throughout the country that use this program. I've talked to several of them. They say it's a great program. It does cut down on office time. There's always going to be some appeal along the road and growing pains with it and learning curves, but we'll get through those. And I think the county's going to be very satisfied with this program.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. Can I open up for any public comment? Hearing no additional comments, Commissioner Carmelo, if you can entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jim Carmelo, move to approve CARES Act expenditures pertaining to the Community Development Tyler Remote Workforce Project, not to exceed an additional $10,000, and approve the adjustment of the in-code ICP quote from $26,680 to $32,055, subject to CARES Act requirements and CARES Act committee for approval.
Great. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item 17 has us recessing as the Story County Board of Commissioners and reconvening and convening as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us up to item number 18, discussion for possible action, consideration of possible move to purchase retrofit equipment 2, 1996, HME Type 1 Structured Fire Engines from Trekkie Mills Fire Protection District for approximately $50,000. Chief Devin.
Morning, Commissioner, for the record, Devin. Just a little background on this. I was approached about 6 weeks ago by Trekkie Mills that they were surplusing these engines as they met their criteria for disposal with their replacement plan. We have two of these engines currently that were purchased back in 1996 through the department, along with India through the Rockwick counties that purchased, I believe there were seven of these engines. So we have two, and if we get a power, probably have two more. We've looked at these engines. I actually, one of those engines was the engine that I rode on when I worked for India quite a few years ago.
both engines are in really good shape for their age. Our county mechanic and I went and looked at them. You know, obviously they're older, but they are still in great shape for what they are, and we can get those in service and switch over to Stewart County for the price of $50,000. The cost of the engines is actually only $20,000, as outlined in the staff report. We just received a quote back for specifications on new engines, just to give you a kind of a ballpark figure. New engines now are over $700,000 for one fire engine, so I think we're getting a great deal with these, and I think they'll last us for quite some time, too. They are all-wheel drive fire engines, so we won't have any problems in the snow. They're 1,000-gallon water tanks, and again, they're pretty much bulletproof. No computers or anything of that such, so I think we'll be ahead in the long run with these.
Are you going to be replacing any equipment with these or just adding to your fleet, Jeff?
This will give us a reserve engine on the north end of the county. Currently, if we have one of those go down, we've got to bring the reserve engine that we have on the south end of the county down, switch equipment, bring it back up to the shop for repair. So it's manpower intensive, labor intensive, so hopefully this will be able to outfit this, have it on the north end of the county, and cut down on any of the excess time that we've had to switch those around. And then just to have an additional engine on the end of the county will be helpful as well.
Very good, thank you. Fellow all commissioners, any questions for the chief?
No questions, Mrs. J. I just wanted to say I'm happy to see this going on. Obviously, it's going to be a lot more efficient, and hopefully the community will be a little safer.
Yeah, I'm going to echo Jay's words. As you all know, I think now is the time with COVID and for our Navy to hear that taking care of our first responders and our capability in our county is very prudent to help. Jeff, thanks a million for undertaking this, and I'm
delighted to have you. Very good. All right, we're going to hold up. There's a public comment regarding the purchase of these two fire engines. Okay, not hearing any additional comments. Commissioner Carlin, if you can entertain a motion to approve.
I'm Jay Carmona. I make a motion to approve the purchase of two 1996 HME Type 1 structure fire engines from the Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District and authorize the chairman to sign the sales agreement.
Well, second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thanks, Chief.
You.
Item 19, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Stewart County Fire Protection District. We need to meet the Stewart County Board of Commissioners. Bring us to item number 20, discussion for possible action. Review and approval letter to the Governor's COVID-19 Management Task Force requesting consideration of all their partial renewal of all licensed businesses in the county. County Manager Osborne.
Mr. Chairman, Lance Gilman here, if I may. Since I do have a pecuniary interest and part of the subject matter regarding this action, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions or voting. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Lance. Go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Osborne, for the record. The letter which you have in front of you is a draft letter to the Nevada COVID-19 Mitigation and Management Task Force. It really summarizes the situation in Stewart County, particularly with regard to all businesses of the county being allowed to open or partially open, except for one, that being the brothel in the county of the Mustang Ranch. We're asking the task force to at least allow the county or representatives to join the task force on the agenda to discuss the matter, or for the task force to make a recommendation to the governor on what it feels may be appropriate. the task force will not have authority, to my understanding, to make a mandate in this or to open or close the building, but does have the authority to recommend. The only time they would have other authorities if there is a watch list situation, such as another county having certain businesses on watch list. So really what's our goal here is all businesses should have the, at least the opportunity to be considered to be reopened, even under the most stringent mitigation measures, such as those that have been presented already and submitted to the governor's office and the task force, as well as the lead group of the governor's office. If this board so desires to approve this letter, this would be submitted to the governor's task force for those requests.
All right. Thank you, Austin. All right. I'll go ahead and open up the public comment. Okay, we're not getting any public comment. Commissioner Carmona? Would you like to entertain
the show?
Pardon me?
Yep. I said, is it showtime?
Yeah. Pardon me. Go right ahead. Sorry,
Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the attached letter to the Governor's COVID-19 Management Task Force, requesting consideration to open or partially reopen all licensed businesses in the county, including brothels, to be placed on an upcoming task force agenda to discuss this matter, or for the task force to make an advisory recommendation to the governor.
I'll second your motion. So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on now to item number 21. As you welcome, Commissioner Tillman, back to the board. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the first reading of ordinance number 20-312 and ordinance amending Story County Code 2.22.080A in chapter 2.22, the county's list of qualified appraisers. Mr. Osborne, we'll take it from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I will. And I'll make a note that Deputy District Attorney Keith Lewis was also involved in reviewing NRS and making sure that we're following the rules here. As you know, that Story County does purchase and lease properties as well as leasing out or selling properties. In order to do that, we need to have those properties appraised by qualified person. And we have to have a list of appraisers that we use in kind of a Rolodex order to provide a fair system of appraising properties. So it's come to my attention that our ordinance needs to be updated and that there's some issues with that. And we also need some things in our ordinance that would be custom historic counties, such as the Comstock Historic District, having a separate list of appraisers to the rest of the county. So folks that really have experience in appraising very difficult territory and mining towns with different claims and buildings that are difficult to compare against each other, that sort of environment, that will be able to have a separate list of appraisers depending on who buys. So if this first reading gets approved and second reading gets approved, then at that point I follow those rules, send out a letter requesting to all appraisers in Washington County, Carson City, and Lane County, and Story County, whoever has interest, to apply. And they would submit letters of interest or resumes, review them for qualifications, fill the list, and then begin on the numbers.
Very good. Fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Austin regarding this amendment to the our ordinance?
I do not, Chairman.
I have no question, thank you.
All right, very good. Open up the public comment regarding this. Initial public comment. Commissioner Carmona, do you entertain a motion to approve this and go ahead and remember to read the title of the ordinance and your motion, please?
Will do, sir.
I can read the title of that work for you. Just keep going.
Go for it,
Pete. All right.
This is an ordinance amending Story County Code Sections 2.22.060 and 2.22.080 to provide geographic jurisdictions within which appraisers will be contacted to be included on the county's list of qualified appraisers, appraisers of providing for other properties resident there. Thank you.
All right. I'll move on to the motion. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the first reading of ordinance number 20-312, an ordinance amending Story County Code Section 2.22.080A and Chapters 2.22, County's List of Qualified Appraisers, in order to better develop a list of appraisers qualified to conduct appraisals of real property owned by the county and offered for sale or leased by the board, proposed to be purchased by the county, and provided for other properly related matters.
Mr. Chairman, if I could offer a proposal, a brief amendment to that motion, to include that it will also provide for the amendment of 2.22.060.
All right. Do you need Vice Chairman Carmona to add that, or is your verbiage good enough?
Can you, would you adopt that verbiage?
Commissioner? Yeah.
All right, I don't need to read the whole motion again, right, Pete?
No.
Okay. And also to include County Code Section 2.22.060, is that correct?
Yes.
I'll second the motion along with the amendment.
Right, the motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Moses. We're moving on now to item number 22, discussion for possible action. File 2020-030, request to amend the public access easement associated with a portion of the undeveloped A Street right-of-way, located approximately 155 feet north of over grade right-of-way and approximately 100 feet south of Ridge Street right away. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you very much. So Kathy Canfield for the record. This is an amendment of the public access easement for a portion of undeveloped A Street. The section to be abandoned is adjacent to the property owned by the county at 800 South C Street, which is the divide, what is to become the divide Justice Center area. The land associated with the access easement abandonment will be consolidated with the land that's owned by Story County, and it will remain public property. The topography of the area makes construction of any kind of access along this A Street area very unlikely, and that area also isn't used for any access to any surrounding properties today. A abandonment is proposed to allow for a small building addition that would encroach into the A Street access easement. We did follow the noticing requirements of NRS. We did receive one phone call from an adjacent property owner with a question about their addressing. There's no changes required for any access or any addressing for the surrounding properties. Utility companies were also contacted. There's no utilities in their records for this area of right-of-way. And no public comments were received at the Planning Commission meeting. The Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval. We have one person absent, and staff is also recommending approval.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioners, do you have any questions? Kathy?
I don't, Chairman.
All right, open up the public comment. Hearing none, I'll go back to my legal counsel and ask Mr. Lomas if the findings of fact can be read into the record.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Canfield, would you go ahead and read the findings of fact for a motion to approve on this item?
Sure. This approval is to abandon the public access easement associated with a portion of undeveloped A Street right-of-way located at approximately 155 feet north of Overgrade right-of-way and approximately 190 feet south of Ridge Street right-of-way. The land associated with the access easement will remain in Surrey County property. However, the abandonment of the easement will allow for construction of a county-owned building to occur. The area associated with the public access easement abandonment will be consolidated with the Surrey County-owned parcel. The right-of-way abandonment is located adjacent to 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Surrey County, Nevada, and borders assessor's parcel number APN001-042-13. The abandonment complies with NRS 278.480 relating to abandonment of a street or easement. The abandonment complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to vacation or abandonment of streets or easements, including NRS 278.240. The abandonment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The abandonment will not cause the public to be materially injured by the proposed abandonment. The conditions of approval for the requested abandonment do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Surrey County Code, Chapter 17.12.090, General Provisions, Access and Rights of Way, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you for that. Commissioner Carmona, so would you entertain a motion to approve this based on the findings and the facts?
Yes, sir. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of the staff report and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, hereby move to approve abandonment of a public access easement associated with a portion of undeveloped A Street right-of-way located approximately 155 feet north of the Overgrade right-of-way and approximately 190 feet south of the Ridge Street right-of-way. The land associated with the access easement will remain Surrey County property. However, the abandonment of the easement will allow for construction of a county-owned building to occur. The area associated with the public access easement abandonment will be consolidated with the Surrey County-owned parcel. The right-of-way abandonment is located adjacent to 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Surrey County, Nevada, and borders assessor's parcel number APN 001-042-13.
I'll second Jay's motion.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 23, discussion for possible action. Special use permit 2020-020, request to operate a retail establishment, an exhibit within an existing building that includes live birds of prey at 80 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Ms. Campbell.
Thank you. So this is a special use permit application for a new retail experience that includes live birds of prey. It's within an existing building at 80 South C Street, which is immediately adjacent to the visitor center. The retail itself is allowed, but the SUP is required for the live animals. The animals themselves will all be inside. The birds will travel back and forth with the applicant to the site, so they won't be living on the site. The applicant has also received all his licensing through the state of Nevada. And we have included with the condition of the permit that there might be times where an outdoor display of the animals' talents might be wanted. And so we've just identified that they would do something like that with a special events permit with the VCTC. We didn't receive any comments from anyone noticing that we did. There was no public comment at the Planning Commission meeting. The one thing we did was expand the language of Condition G, and I have additional language that the Planning Commission recommended that Surrey County shall be listed as an additional insured on the general liability certificate for their liability insurance. The applicant has agreed to that and has actually already done that and submitted that to us. The Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval. We did have one person absent, and staff has also recommended approval. I believe the applicant is also on the line here today, too. Mr. Dalton.
Mr. Dalton. All right. Mr. Dalton, is there anything you'd like to say?
I just wanted to say that we really are looking forward to being up there and being part of the community, and we really think that, you know, something kind of fun and unique is really kind of needed. some people's spirits and keep things kind of in an upward trend for people. There's a lot of bad things going on around the country. We think this is going to really, just kind of give somebody something to look forward to. And for somebody who's never gone through this process of a special use permit, I just wanted to say that the department and everybody involved, Martin and Kathy and Lindy, they were just so helpful to me because I come from an IT background. I'm not a business owner, so this was definitely an experience. And as tough as it was getting everything together, they were extremely helpful at answering all my questions and making sure that we were ready to go on time. And I just wanted to thank the commission for all your consideration. And I forgot to mention
that. Can you talk? It's muted. It's muted. Oh, no.
Okay, well, great question.
Is it boring?
Yes, it is. This is my first time owning a physical business. I had an online retail store for just a couple of years that just really wasn't what I wanted to do. And like I said, I was the IT security analyst for the city of Reno for almost 20 years, and I recently retired just due to the stress of that and everything involved. And I am now kind of reaching out into an area that I really have a passion for. I think it's just going to be a great experience for anybody that comes up and sees our birds and learns a little bit, sees what they're all about.
Well, very good. It's been several years, but we have had birds of prey on display for the city in the past. So they're very unique, and I know that they're an attention here for the digital public when they're here. So very good. Fellow commissioners, do you either of you have any questions for either Captain or Corey?
Chairman, this is Jay Carlin. I have no questions, but I do just want to echo, it is a welcome site. I'm sure some folks remember back in the day when they used to be Puma at the jerky company place. Obviously, that was always an attention getter show as a ghost town. So to have this kind of interactive stuff going on C Street, I think is a welcome addition to the shops and restaurants that we already have. So thank you for bringing your business to town.
Yeah, thank you for hopefully having me.
Okay. Anything else from you?
I'm going to echo Jay's comments and yours, and welcome aboard. I love the diversity on C Street, and they're welcome as well.
Very good. All right. All up for public comment.
Yeah, I think that's what
you're planning. Any
other public comment? I didn't know if we did for sure.
And I'd also like to mention that when we do
all these news people
for approval of that site,
Alicia, just start having a team also, so we can make sure that we answer right.
Yeah.
They can't come back and say, well,
the findings of fact for the motion.
No, then it's say it's exactly all of that
electrical establishment and exhibit within an existing menu that includes live birds of prey at 80 South C Street, Virginia City, Scoria County, Nevada, Assessor's Parcel Number 8PM001-083-02. The birds will not reside at the site but will be transported daily by the applicant. No outside display is proposed. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, this title, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to official notice by the county. The proposal, location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or if they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, and any other plans, programs, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will pose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the downtown district portion of Virginia City within the Comstock Area Plan, in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in section 2.D of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Story County Code section 17.03.150 special use permit, 17.12 general provisions, and section 17.30 CR commercial residential.
Kathy, I have one question for you. What's behind the additional insurance, meaning Story County additional insured? I'm not familiar with other special use permits that go ahead and force a applicant to go ahead and additionally insure the county when they already got their own insurance.
That was a request from the Planning Commission and was brought up by Commissioner Prater. Maybe I can have Keith weigh in.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Prater wanted to have that included. I was asked if I thought that was a good idea or not. My response was, yes, I think it is a good idea to have additional source of insurance for the county. It's not required, but it's proposed as an addition, and my recommendation was yes.
Okay, why is my question?
It provides an additional source of insurance coverage for the county in case something goes wrong.
Is the county responsible for the activity of the business?
No, but that doesn't mean the county can't get sued for it.
Can I mention one thing? So, this is Corey Allen for the record. Keith Loomis asked to be listed specifically, although the actual certificate does cover any venue that we actually will be doing our business at, because we do plan to be part of the events down in Reno during the summer months. So our policy covers us for any venue, but they would list specifically any entity that wanted to be listed as an additional covered entity. And Keith offered that. It doesn't affect the policy on our end, and it's actually, since the Planning Commission already requested it, we just went ahead and told the insurance company to just simply write it in, because it doesn't change the coverage amount or the amount we pay. They just write it specifically in there. But it does cover any venue that we go to.
All right. Well, Mr. Collins, as long as you don't have any opposition to it, myself being in the private sector as well, I think it's overkill myself personally. But anyway, Mr. Dodson, I see that you're on one. Is something you wanted to add to this?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yeah, sorry for coming a little late here. I do have a follow-up question for Kathy. In past practice on the boardwalk, we've allowed merchants to merchandise some of their products on their alcove or in their threshold, which is considered private property, not out on the boardwalk. Would this individual be able to just be on their alcove or with the house?
The special use permit is for the animals to be inside the building. Unless for displays or something, we talked about having the VCTC do a special events permit if there was some, they wanted to see the animals actually perform, you know, what they're capable to doing. But no, this permit is for them to be inside.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the reason I asked is that years ago we did have that other gentleman that believed that bought the house up, and like Mr. McBride mentioned, it is an attraction with a bit of excitement. Be it from the tourism side, I welcome it. As long as it's done safely. And it's a good addition to having more attractions in Virginia City. Always trying to help. So I look forward to working with Mr. Dalton on what he wants to set up outside the venue.
All right. At this time, we're going to open up the public comment. Here you go, additional comment. Commissioner Ackerman, if you go ahead and entertain a motion to approve this and at the section that Ms. Canfield has, which would be, I think, line G of that.
Yeah, Kathy, first, I have a motion. Can you repeat what you needed to say?
So staff and the Planning Commission proposed an additional sentence at the end of Condition G, which would state, Story County shall be listed as an additional insured on the general liability certificate.
Okay, so we'll just add the amendment to Condition G?
Yes.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of the staff report and the amendment to Condition G and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Jay Marmota, hereby move to approve operation of a retail establishment and exhibit within an existing building that includes live birds of prey at 80 South C Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN-001-083-02. The birds will not reside at the site, but will be transported daily by the applicant. No outside display is proposed.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Galton, welcome to Story County.
Thank you very much.
All right, next up is item number 24, discussion for possible action. Second reading of Bill 118, Ordinance 20-307. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you. So this is the second reading of our Title 17 update. The only change from our last meeting was as reviewing this one last time, I did find something that needed further clarification in the estate zoning under the special uses listed for a special use permit. Items E and F, which are proposed, equestrian establishments and animal boarding and grooming. Those uses can be considered commercial uses, and for the estate zone, we wanted to clarify that those uses are only allowed under a special use permit when accessory to a primary on-site residence. Other than those two, adding that word into those two land uses, there's no other changes since the first reading.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Fellow commissioners, do you have any follow-up questions for Kathy and Brian?
Not at this time, Chairman.
No questions.
All right. Very good. Is there any public comment regarding the second meeting of Bill 118?
Can we get this, Chairman?
Okay. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carolina, would you entertain a motion to approve?
My pleasure. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading of Bill 118, Ordinance Number 20-307, Text Amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning Districts CR, Commercial Residential, C Commercial, R1, Single Family, R2, Multifamily Residential, E Estate, F Forestry, A Agriculture, I-1, Light Industrial, and I-2, Heavy Industrial, NR, Natural Resources, and SPR, Special Planning Review Zones. Additions, modifications, eliminations, and clarifications, including the listed land use, minimum floor area, setbacks, minimum parcel area, distance between buildings, and home enterprises are proposed.
Right. So I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Bring us up to item number 25. This is a motion for possible action. Approval of business license second readings. Mr. Osborne.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman, and pardon me, the veto I think is still on, but I'll speak on behalf. That to community development recommend approval of items A, B, C, D, E, and F.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Commissioner Crumway, would you entertain a motion, excuse me, open a quick public comment regarding these business licenses and meetings? And I'll ask you, Commissioner Crumway, would you entertain a motion to approve these second readings?
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the second reading of business licenses A through F.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving on now to item number 26. We have public comment. Anyone wishing to make public comment, please do so. Identify yourself for the record. Speak clearly, speak loudly, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Thank you. Once again, public comment. Hearing no public comment, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks on October the 20th. All right, this meeting's adjourned.